Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Menaceween Wednesday is sack. This is so trippy. Reminds me of the mid-1990s. I'm in college. I'm expanding my mind.
In what way? Yeah, this was drug-induced.
Right. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM. The Cat just tweeted out a picture of Marlins camp where there's a gentleman. Looks like he's about my height. Maybe he has 100 pounds on me. Looks like he's smoking some meats right beyond Ichiro's cargo gym. That's what's going on.
I don't know what they got going over there. They've had the barbecue.
It's a different approach than what's going on at the Cardinal camp.
They had what looked like a high school tryout at one point behind the fence. I don't like the Marlins' chances this year.
So you're going to take the under on the Marlins, but Eduardo Perez said he's bullish on the Braves. And that number is only at 71.5. So, Doug, if you want to parlay those.
Well, I don't think I like the Braves quite as much as Eduardo Perez does, but you know, he knows a lot more baseball than I do. I don't know that you want to bank on Bartolo Colon. What is he, 350 pounds or so now? 50 years old.
In the best shape of his life this year.
Yep. I don't think he's ever been in the best shape of his life.
So many sponsors making this week a broadcast at spring training possible. Grand Cru Cigars, Stoli Vodka, the Post Sports Bar and Grill, 314 Training Academy, Big Boy Lawns, the power of the giraffe.org, Four Seasons Penske Truck Rental, Cordell and Cordell, Kevin Miller of Coldwell Banker Gundicker, iTech Shark, JMH Law Firm, AMP Restoration, Advanced Vision Care with two Illinois locations in Belleville and Nashville, Premier Parking, check them out at parkcardinals.com if you're ordering your baseball parking pass today, and Anheuser-Busch, Budweiser, the official beer sponsor of the St. Louis Cardinals. This Bud, it is for you, Doug. That's who it's for. And Mardi Gras coming up this weekend. You going to go down there to Soulard and throw beads at 21-year-olds?
Well, of course.
Clip that off.
Why wouldn't
it's
I?
It's this weekend. The Bud Light Party Tent, the only official party tent of the Grand Parade. More time to party, over 9 hours of beer, beats, and beads. More booze, a fully stocked bar with lots of beer, premium spirits, and signature Mardi Gras cocktails. Come and go as you please with re-entry privileges, two heated tents with plenty of seating, and a huge dance floor, a buffet with food from Joni's Pizzeria. Access to private bathrooms, more beads with giveaways all day. Tickets are available in advance at stlmardigras.org. That's stlmardigras.org. Send your emails in for the Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots is on the line, and you can text in 855-CUB-TALK. 855-CUB-TALK is how you can text in. We want to make sure we thank Stoli Vodka for being a sponsor of Spring Training Week. We've been joined by Stephen Piscotty. The Plowboy had a huge question of the day. You'll be able to watch all of this on InsideSTL.com as Nick Yale has been shooting all of the video. John Mazelak joined us in the 8 o'clock hour, and now it is our pleasure to welcome to the Post Sports Bar and Grill picnic table the chairman of the St. Louis Cardinals Baseball Club, LLC. Doug, I bet you didn't know that was the full official state registered name, did you?
Well, I actually did, yeah.
Did you really?
Well, I think
it was kind of a fun piece of information.
Okay, I didn't know it.
Welcome to Awful Radio, sir. Welcome.
Good to be with you, Jim.
clip that off.
It's a nice vehicle you rode up in. Looks like you're ready to go out there and do some yard work.
Yeah, it looks like it's had a chair of work over the years. It's a little noisy and choppy.
But you've got other people to handle the groundwork, I'm assuming, at this point.
Mr. DeWitt, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you on the show. How many spring trainings is this now for you as the chairman? I'm going to throw a number out, Doug. I'm going to go with 23?
This is actually our 22nd.
22nd. Oh, yep. I wanted that one. Yep. I wanted that one. 22nd. Any
22nd
difference
with the Cardinals?
I mean, now this is, I mean, I recall coming here in 1998, which I think was the first year in Jupiter, correct?
Yep.
And it still looks like a fantastic facility. Anything now that you look at it and go, okay, well, this is certainly changed from where we were? I one thing I would say is the development around here is expanding.
Well, you know, when we first looked at this, we were training in Tampa, or in St. Pete, really.
Right.
And I heard that Atlanta was choosing not to come here. They were in West Palm. So I called a good friend of mine with the Braves, and I said, is that really true? And he said, yeah, if you want to come talk to the developer, here's his number. So I called. His name was George Guardioli, worked for the well, I guess he was working with the MacArthur Foundation, owned all this property. And I drove over from the West Coast, and it was just empty land, this whole city. And he had this vision of a city in Palm Beach County. So, you know, we thought that was a great opportunity, and to have an all-new facility, and Tampa Bay was coming in to, as a new team, and, you know, that was really their market over there in St. Pete. So it all came together and worked out great.
And how important was it for you and the organization to have two teams? Now, is it the Nationals and Astros, is that correct, moving to Palm Beach Gardens?
That's correct.
And that's a big thing, because you guys were having to travel all over the place to get games in March.
Yeah, really, it really does help, and we were big advocates for that project. It was, these are not easy to put together, particularly now. They're much more expensive, and but they got it done to their credit, which is great. And, you know, we'll play them a bunch of times both there and here, and what is it, 10 or 15 minutes away, which is perfect.
Was there ever a time, because a lot of teams went to Arizona, was there ever a time you guys were thinking that maybe that's in the future before teams started coming back here?
Not really. I think Florida's what Cardinal fans are used to. I've, on a personal level, always gone to Florida for spring training, so I think it makes sense for where we're located, where the Cardinals are, that people are used to. They got used to St. Pete over the years, and coming over here was a you know, minor adjustment, but they certainly adjusted.
You're a businessman, owner, but also a fan. I mean, you know as much about every player at every level as I think any owner in baseball in your organization. When you come to this spring training, what are the things you're looking to find out that you personally, you're interested to find out about this year's ball club?
Well, I know the makeup of the club, obviously, so it's a matter of the guys who were hoping to make the club, and you know, there's some open spots there, see how that develops. But I always look, I'm always looking not only for the Cardinals, the big league club, but, you know, what's coming. So it's always fun to see pitchers like Flaherty and Alcantara throw bullpens and throw live pitching, and, you know, the better prospects that we have who are here. So I focus on that pretty much, and I'm looking forward to seeing Alvarez and Sosa, the young infielders. I've seen them on the backfields, but I like watching that to see what the future might look like.
I'm assuming when you were a kid and your father was a baseball executive, you made it down to spring training a little bit. What was it like? What is the comparisons of spring training in like the 40s and the 50s to where it is now?
Well, it was so much more casual, I'd say. It's casual now, but and it's great that the fans have the access. The attendance wasn't what you might expect back then, but I did every year when I was a kid. We would go to spring training, and you know, starting in the late 40s with the Browns, and then he worked for the Yankees for a while, so we would go to St. Pete. And then,
where the Browns set up shop in spring?
Well, the Browns went various places. Way back when, they went to, I think, Cape Girardeau one year.
How'd that work out for you?
And, you know, I went to the West Coast San Bernardino, I think, is where they trained one year. But they moved around a little bit. But we got used to coming to Florida, and, you know, it was a great opportunity for me as a kid, and as a young kid, and then high school and college, coming down to spring training.
Back then, you probably didn't see anybody lifting weights or worried much about what they were eating?
No, not as much. I think it was a totally different scenario. Most of the clubs seemed to be set, and, you know, players didn't move from club to club as much as they do now. But beyond that, pitchers weren't throwing all winter, and guys weren't working out all winter necessarily. You know, the old story, what players would do in the offseason, they'd sell Christmas trees to make some extra dollars. But it was actually true. I mean, they would get odd jobs, part-time jobs, and, you know, they would come to spring training to get in shape. It's such a more rigorous, demanding, physical year-round thing these days, and games faster, it's everybody stronger, they throw harder, they hit the ball harder, they hit the ball farther. It's just it's a different different game.
From a player standpoint, hearing Red tell his stories, he said back in the day, there were a couple of fields that was a lot, and you couldn't get at-bats, but there just wasn't enough space or time or people to get that done. He said it was a totally different operation for players.
Well, we didn't have all the fields that we have here, and I know when the Reds trained in Tampa in the 60s when my father ran the club, the minor leagues were in a separate location. So, you know, the big club was at Alang Field, and then the other ones were pretty far from there. But even then, it was limited, and a lot of kids came through. But Red was a little ahead of my time when he first came up. So, back then it was even less availability for players to get, opportunities to show what they had.
Cardinal Chairman Bill DeWitt, kind enough to sit down with us here on the Post Sports Bar and Grill picnic table on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and inside STL.com. Dexter Fowler got a lot of attention a couple of days ago with comments that I felt like they were harmless, and even if he was giving a position on policy, players have the right to do that, but you're in the position of being chairman of the organization. First off, what did you think of that? What did you think of the attention given to Dexter's comments, Mr. DeWitt?
Well, I thought his comments were personal and, to be honest, fairly non-controversial, pretty innocuous. I mean, I think he was asked about the travel ban, and he said, personally to me, it's hard because he was married to an Iranian woman, and they want their child to see their cousin. So I think he was speaking from the heart, and, you know, you sure can't question that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've got a great fan base in St. Louis, and, you know, a bunch of the national media guys picked it up. And, you know, there's always somebody that's going to criticize what you say, no matter, you know, what you say, you know, who says it or when they say it or what they really mean. And, you know, it's easy to blow something out of proportion.
It was blown out of proportion.
It really was, yeah. He didn't criticize the president. He didn't criticize his policies. He wasn't political. I think he was just being himself. And, you know, that's one of the great things about Dexter Fowler is he's out there and he's a personality. And, you know, he's for a player coming into this camp for the first time, he's pretty impressive, and it's been so well received by the players and the media and the fans. And it's a shame that some people had to take a shot at that.
We were talking to John Mozeliak. He says he, you know, admires people like Dexter who give well-thought-out opinions and follow things closely. And Dexter handles, I think, himself on social media very well. A lot of veterans kind of shy away from it. Do you think that it's better to embrace it and go as Dexter, or, you know, what's your view on players on social media?
I think you be who you are. And he's got the personality to do it, and he enjoys doing it. So I think that's great. I think and it's good for the club to have someone who's of his character out there on social media. But it's not for everyone. I mean, a lot of players don't want to get involved. They don't want, you know, any potential controversy. And I don't think Dexter's controversial at all, to be honest. But anytime you're on social media, you get responses. That's sort of life on Twitter, et cetera.
Are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not.
You're more of a Snapchat guy.
No, it's just each to his own, and it's just not my personality to be tweeting all the time.
Facebook or anything? Do you do any of the social media?
No, I don't do any of that. I mean, I'm online every single morning, and I pull up the news, and I pull up what's going on in the world, and pick up a lot of sports things. But I'm not personally out there on any of that stuff.
When you do have people, though, Mr. DeWitt, who in a sense can make their livings or are just angry and want to wait for the next victim to have the Pitchfork Mafia chase after on social media, and then you are the chairman of an organization, let's just, for the sake of argument, whether it be Dexter Fowler or anybody else associated with the Cardinals, make a statement in political and a polarizing time. What is your viewpoint on that?
Well, I think that's their right. And, you know, we're we're Americans here. We've got the right to speak out. We've got the right to demonstrate. We've got the right to do whatever we choose. And, you know, in some ways he represents the Cardinals organization. In other ways he's representing himself. So, I mean, there are limits to positions you would want a player to take. And, you know, no one's really pushed those limits. So, you know, I think it's a great thing. I think that's an asset he brings to the club. You know, you want fans to be engaged. You want players to be engaged. And as I said, it's not for everybody. And it's nice that we have someone with the kind of personality Dexter's got that's really universally admired in the game. You look at what the Cubs did when he was on the verge of signing elsewhere and came back. That tells you what his teammates thought of him.
Yeah. When it didn't look like they even needed him. They just signed Hayward and said, why are they taking Dexter Fowler? I guess we found out.
Well, they found out he had a heck of a year. And, you know, he really helped win that world championship for the Cubs. There's no question about it.
What are your expectations specifically for this team this year? Do you think you've got enough here to challenge the Cubs?
I do. I you know, every year our goal is to be competitive and have a club good enough to have a chance to play in October. And, you know, if we get to October, to do well. And I think this club has that opportunity. Every team needs things to come together in their favor, particularly with injuries as prevalent as there are in the game today. And if you think back to last year, we were doing pretty well, and we got slammed pretty hard over a period of time with injuries to key players. And someone did a stat, I can't remember who it was, that everyone has injuries, but if you look at the metric teams use now, WAR, wins above replacement, the players we lost were high performers. It's not like we were losing secondary players or replacement players. We lost premium players. Lost Holiday. We lost Carpenter. We lost Diaz. You know, that took its toll. And, you know, if this year, if our key players stay healthy and, you know, we improve on some areas of the game, I think we've got a real shot of doing extremely well.
You know, baseball is business first, but it's also got its personal side. Matt Holiday was a longtime Cardinal. John Mozeliak, you know, said that it was a very difficult decision to not bring Matt Holiday back because they thought so highly of him. I know you thought highly of Matt Holiday as well. How difficult was that for you to see a guy like Matt Holiday now wearing pinstripes?
It's tough because Matt was such a great Cardinal in every way. He was a great performer, was a big part of our winning while he was here, and we had tremendous success while he was here as a regular. And he was good in the community. He was good in the clubhouse. He was everything you want in a Cardinal. But, you know, the reality of the game is, you know, these careers are pretty short. And when you get into your upper 30s and you're a position player particularly, you know, there's opportunity elsewhere in the American League as a DH or, you know, back and forth DH position player. Where sometimes it makes sense for a player to move over there. And I think it's a great situation for Matt. And the Yankees, what a great historic franchise. In some ways it'll be kind of fun to see him in pinstripes after seeing him in the Cardinal uniform. I think you can't find two more iconic franchises in sports than the Cardinals and the Yankees.
Speaking of the DH, I keep hearing that it's almost an inevitability that it'll come to the National League. Do you feel that way, and what's your position?
I don't feel that way.
Good.
The DH originally was put in the early 70s because there was a lack of offense. But the American League obviously did, the National League didn't. And there's an ebb and flow to the game. And right now, there was tremendous offense for a period of time, and then the game with the pitching and all the matchups and relief pitching, offense, particularly consistent offense where you get rallies and put balls in play, has changed a little bit. And I think that's brought up the idea of maybe a DH in the National League. Personally, I'd rather see some tweaks to the game where the offense can do better, and there fewer strikeouts, fewer walks, more balls in play.
What kind of tweaks are you thinking about?
Well, I know MLB has talked about, and the commissioner's talked about, maybe adjusting the strike zone a little bit so that, you know, there's less swinging and missing and more balls in play earlier in counts, things like that.
You know, I agree, though. You always hear that DH is inevitable in the National League, and then you talk to owners or you read what owners say, and they're like, no, National League owners. Where do you think that push is coming from? Is that a players union thing?
The players, to be honest, haven't pushed that hard for it. I was on the labor committee this year, and it really didn't come up specifically. I'm sure the players, some players would like it. I don't think the pitchers would like it, particularly the ones who like to hit, like Wainwright, Leake, and others that we have. They wouldn't like the DH because they like batting, and they don't like facing, you know, non-pitchers.
Right.
So, you know, it kind of cuts both ways, but... the purity of the game for those historians, they like the strategy in the National League more so than the American League. Those who like the DH like more action. So it's, you know, it was a pretty dramatic change in the game way back when it was done 40 years ago. And, you know, there's some tweaks to the game now that have been talked about, and they've gotten a lot of attention. But nothing as dramatic as going to the DH back then.
Well, what do you think about the tweak that came down yesterday about the intentional walk? You don't have to throw the ball anymore.
I think that's good. I you know, how many things do you see happen when there's an intentional walk? To me, that's a good change. Anything that I don't think we need to speed the game up. What we need to do is tighten up the brakes and. When they put the batter's box rule in that the first half of that first season, you could see the games were shorter, but there was every bit as much action, if not more. And then I think the players got away from a little bit. They went back to their old habits. But there are things like that you can do. I know there's talk about limiting the visits to the mound, limiting how many relief pitchers that you have, limiting... Or forcing a relief pitcher to pitch more than one batter.
Do you like that? Or
to me, it takes I like looking at all of it. I think it's each of those things is something to look at, and you know we're fortunate because we have the minor leagues. We can start experimenting with things like that in the lowest level, and if it looks like it's a good thing, we can keep moving it up the ladder and ultimately bring it to the major leagues.
Mr. DeWitt, the partnership between the Cardinals and Blues is a unique thing in professional sports, and that's something that certainly came to the forefront the night the Rams announced that they were moving, and then perhaps experienced its peak with the Winter Classic. What did you, and especially your son, the president of the organization, think of what took place at Busch Stadium on January 2nd?
That was awesome. I was there, and of course, my son is a big hockey fan and played as a kid growing up, played in all the way through high school and prep school and played in college a little bit. So, and he still plays. He plays once or twice a week with the former Blues. And, yeah, that's pretty good competition.
I said,
how are you doing against those guys? He said, well, as long as they're 10 years older than I am, I'm okay.
Yeah, it's a great equalizer.
So, but, you know, it was a great event. It was great for the city. It was great for, I think, the Blues. It was great for the Cardinals to have that connection. I mean, we're really partners in town, and it's a great relationship. I know a bunch of the Blues owners and vice versa, so... You know, so we really like the association with the Blues.
It seems like you guys even came together even more so when the Rams left town, that you guys kind of felt a responsibility to speak on behalf of the fan base in St. Louis, be it baseball or hockey.
Yeah, no question about it. And the Blues, I think, are much like the Cardinals in that they're very civic. They're very motivated to do what's right for the city, to represent the city well. And I think the Rams were perceived, rightly or wrongly, as maybe a little different from that. So, you know, when they left, it was that much more of an opportunity to reaffirm everyone's commitment to the city and those assets of the city, like our sports teams, to stick together.
You think you might go after another Winter Classic in the near future?
You know, I don't know how. Sure, we'd love to. I mean, we packed them in down there.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Not
all
only
weekend.
All weekend.
Yeah,
and following. I mean, there were games, kids games, youth games, high school games, all through that and afterwards. And you know, it was great to have the rink out there. It was a pretty cool thing to see, you know, on the baseball diamond. We'd love to do another one. I know that every city who has an opportunity, if they have the right weather, great situation, hockey interest, they're after it. But I don't know how many times cities have done more than one. I think it's kind of like an all-star game. We're going to have to wait a while.
And with all the concerts and the soccer and everything, the guy who has to adapt the most is Bill Finley, the grounds crew guy.
Right. He's, we count on him a lot because there's a lot of changes. It's not just baseball. It's you know, hockey and concerts, and we've got a couple of good concerts coming out. Billy Joel, looking forward to that.
Do you get the call
Metallica,
on that?
Are you going to be at Metallica for that?
That one I probably will miss. I don't know that group quite as well as Billy Joel.
Do you get the call on those as to what act is coming in?
Well, we've got an event staff that tries to get popular concerts, ones that'll do well. And to be honest, my opinion doesn't carry a lot of weight with that. But they know what the fans want and what the concert goers like, and they react accordingly.
Mr. DeWitt, Doug and I are consumed with uniforms. It's obviously we have a lot of free time. Any chance of bringing the Navy caps back on the road full-time anytime soon?
You know, my son's a real...
he's into the uniforms.
He's into the uniforms. So, and he's into the historic nature of the uniforms. In fact, there's a book that came out, I'm sure you've seen it, about the history of the Cardinal uniforms. And, you know, we take pride that it's one of the most highly regarded uniforms in baseball and in all the sports. So we're always looking to see if we have exactly the right thing. And I know that's something that's been talked about.
Yes.
I think it's an interesting look myself.
You like the Navy caps?
I do like Navy caps, but I like red caps too. I like white caps.
White caps, oh my gosh. Waves, or are you talking about actually white caps? This could all... But what about the powder blue jersey? I know you weren't the owner of the franchise.
I was not a fan of the powder blue
jersey.
Ah,
Doug, no.
Yeah. Well, that didn't look like the Cardinals, the powder blue. That looked like some other team.
It was left over from the late 70s where people just kind of went, the Pirates were wearing those train conductor caps.
That was an era when baseball was doing different things, and you had...
the whole country was doing different things back then.
Yeah, AstroTurf, I mean, that was the thing back then, and then I think that changed maybe when Camden Yards was built. And I said, you know, we're going to have a classic stadium with grass and with all the new technology, we can maintain grass a lot better than we could. I remember in the Crosley Field days, it was really got rough in the summer. But now with drainage and proper technique and the right type of grass, the grass really looks good all year round. So I'm a traditionalist when it comes to uniform. Give me red or blue, but I like them both. And I do think it's fun to do the history days where you bring out the powder blue or what was worn in the 20s. And, you know, I like that a lot.
Yeah. Well, I love that the Cardinals essentially just have one uniform for home, one for road.
Right.
You know, you saw, I mean, I'm not going to put you in a position where you'd be ripping other franchises, but a couple came out with like six different uniforms last year. I love the tradition.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I would imagine marketing. Essentially, they're trying to generate revenue from uniform and cap dollars, I guess.
But each market's different. A lot of markets, very few markets, have the history we have and the connection to, you know, uniforms that have stayed consistent from way back when. And so, you know, they try different things, see what fans like, see what looks good, and, you know, they'll settle on something as time goes on.
And you guys tweak it 4th of July of the red, white, and blue, you know, the camo for, you know, for Veterans Day, things like that.
Right.
You guys,
no, I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
And I like the St. Louis we do, you know, on
Saturdays.
Weekends, Saturdays,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember the news conference I forget where it was, but I remember the news conference. Mark Lamping was running it when the Cardinals announced that at Busch Stadium 2 they were going from AstroTurf to grass, and Stan Musial rode in on a riding lawnmower to make the announcement. I thought, maybe I'm too much of a baseball fan that I'm really thrilled we're getting grass.
Yeah, right.
I should worry about some other things.
I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that. Well, it's always
great. I was never crazy about the AstroTurf. I mean, when it first came, it was it changed the game, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Worked in St. Louis for a few years,
it
though.
Sure did. Why'd
he put that team together just for the AstroTurf?
We don't want to turn the clock back past that.
Mr. DeWitt, it is always not only a pleasure but an honor for you to sit down with us here every spring. Thank you so much for your time, as always.
And good to be with you guys.
And for
thanks
putting
a lot.
Up with us here at the picnic table.
The picnic table. Yeah. Well, you're nice to have me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. That is the Cardinal Chairman, Bill DeWitt, Jr., sitting down with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and we're always grateful for his time. And Doug, my gosh, we got to talk Navy caps with the man who can make it possible. Doesn't sound like the powder blue jerseys are coming back,
no.
But I have hope now for the Navy caps. I think I'll sleep easier.
Okay, yeah.
Well, he said he likes the blue, the red, and white. So
yeah, the white.
We're
going
to be on the front of ESPN. Cardinals want a white cap.
Yeah. It reminded me of all those long, wonderful interviews we'd have with Stan Kroenke. Covering the Rams, when he would sit down with us and just
and discussing the uniforms with Kevin Demoff and how it was a 4-year process.
You know, it is funny to me because, you know, he's not looking at, necessarily the star players. That he goes and he looks at the prospects. He knows who they are, and those are the guys he wants to go see. I think that's pretty cool because I've said it before. I don't think you'll find an owner who's more familiar with the players at every level of his organization than Bill DeWitt Jr.
Well, he's been involved since he was a little kid, so he does know baseball. Why wouldn't he? It's been his life,
no offense,
his family life.
You've been in TV a long time, and you're still, you know, kind of a work in progress.
Right.
Well, that's nice of you to say.
Those are two great conversations, boys. Thanks. That's from the 314. Yeah, John Mozeliak for about 20 minutes and Bill DeWitt for about 20 minutes here at the Post Sports Bar and Grill picnic table. Without the sponsors, Doug, we're sitting in St. Charles, Jack, and we're just giving hot takes.
You know? Nothing wrong with that.
Wow, look at DeMarcus Cousins, you know, heading to New Orleans. And
Rule change is terrible.
Right, and, you know, 40 minutes and just hope we can get phone calls on it to fill the time. But alas, here we are with Stephen Piscotty, John Mozeliak, Bill DeWitt, and then the Plowboy, really, to me, number one star for his work today on the question of the day. And then you have this kind of nobody knows who he is, but I can tell you about him. His name's Nick. What up, y'all? He's the sea monster of the digital community. And he's been...
Don't say community.
What?
Is it really a community?
Everything's a community. It's like a, in this day and age, everything's a community.
I feel like when I'm on Free Ones, I'm part of a community. Okay. And Nick does wonderful work, and so you'll be able to see video of it, not only today, but the Monday and Tuesday questions of the day. So go to InsideSTL.com and check that out. Our interviews are up there as well. And
we're part of the interview community.
We're part of the interview community. And then I saw that the Plowboy did a video from inside his hotel room.
You did?
Yeah.
Making sandwiches?
Plowboy, tell Doug what's going on.
Have you made some sandwiches on the bedspread?
Made three total double meat sammies.
Now, what makes it double meat? What makes it double meat?
You put, I try to do 5 to 6 slices of meat per slice of bread.
Right.
So that's the double meat aspect of it. Have smoked turkey still in the fridge. Had a couple lunchy bowls. What else do we have here? Sour Patch Kitties. Had a Pop-Tart on the linens last night.
Right on the linens.
Right on the linens. No
why do you do
Kleenexes
that?
Needed.
Why do you do that?
I just, the comfort level. I do that at my crib. I want it to, you know, I want to do it at the hotel.
With other people's soiled stuff.
Right.
It's the right thing to do.
Every night it's a different person sleeping on that bedspread.
It's so hot, isn't it?
It isn't.
I think the hottest part was... I was throwing. I got done making a Sammy with throwing away my Kleenexes, and I don't know if it was mine. I think it was Nick. I hope it wasn't yours. There was a rogue shrub
Hanging
on the Kleenexes, so I could have
right there
where's
near,
the bell when
right
you
next
it?
To where the Pop-Tarts lay.
Yeah, where I'm laying at. So, other than that, been a great time.
Why don't you just keep the Pop-Tart in the wrapper until it's time to eat it and not lay it down anywhere?
No, too small of a wrapper. I need wide base. I need each individual Pop-Tart to be out at a time. You can't do that with
a wrapper. Let me tell you something, a little inside baseball, Tim. Maybe you want to save this when you start your own podcast.
Right.
But we went to lunch yesterday, me and the crew.
J.J. Muggs.
Yeah, and this fella got himself a double order of mashies.
Double order of mashed potatoes.
Yeah, mashed potato and gravy. Had a nice little 8-ounce sirloin.
You had a steak and mashed potatoes at lunch?
Oh, hell yeah.
How about this guy?
Wow, you live large. You do.
Doug, you can make sure that you don't have rogue shrubs by doing business with the great people at Harry's Razors. I enjoy the smooth, comfortable shave I get from my Harry's Razors, and I recommend them to our audience. For decades, one big razor company's relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory, and by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich, lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer fans of the show, you can go to harrys.com right now, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com right now, and enter code INSIDE STL at checkout to get a post-shave balm also free. That's harrys.com, promo code INSIDE STL. Brian Hoffman, are you standing by with our Hot Shots email of the day?
Tim, they are right now being held in my left hand here in our St. Charles.
Wow, Doug, you like that?
We need to know which hand it's
who's holding them. Oh, you are holding them.
I'm big on the details, Doug.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I think it's vivid. It's time for the Hot Shots email of the day.
Enough has become enough. Nobody, and I mean nobody, badmouths my future stepson on the radio. Doug Vaughn sank the USS Free Dotum. I forgave him. He cheated on me with that flamingo dancer Victor whilst giving him the ride of his life. I forgave him. But boys, desperate times calls for desperate measures. Doug is officially cut off from the hanky-panky with me for 1 week's time. So put that in your petulant pipe and smoke it. I don't expect that felt very good. Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man.
Mm. Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man.
It's a tough one, Doug.
Well, what was he upset about exactly?
I don't know what you did.
No, he doesn't say.
Well, you ought to say. If you're that upset, you ought to say why.
Hey guys, I caught up with some cards players after this morning's question of the day. Here's some of what they had to say. Number one, can someone get that that twink a sandwich? Number two, one more question from that stick figure and I'm going to mount him on the pole he ran me into. Number three, is that the rabie guy from Camo X? I thought he'd be bigger in person. Number four, wait, that homeless kid works for Tim? I love Tim. He's the best. Number five, I don't know who you're talking about. My eyes were locked on Doug. Man, to see that guy in a taut baseball pant. Cup check. Sounds like they're enjoying it. Keep up the good work, Plow. Break River to Pair, Yacht Captain.
River to Pair, Yacht Captain.
Morning, cuties. I've come up with a few suggestions for how you can gain the high ground in this tumultuous radio war. Step one, break into Raby's hotel room and drop an upper decker. Step two, steal all of their mics and replace them with big purple dillies. Step three, take Ben Boyd's mother out to a nice seafood dinner and never call her again. Step four, tweet that, quote, Tom Ackerman's takes are lukewarm. Number five, highlight your greatness by wallpapering KMOX personal rental cars with copies of Jason Barrett's list of the top mid-market morning sports talk shows. Regards, Stubby Applause.
Stubby Applause. Applause.
Ahoy! Nice work on the floor today, boys. Couple quick thoughts. A, Plowboy is soaring with QOTD. Two, Mo is... I disagree with Mo. Crinkle is the best fry cut doy. How do you do? Yours, this, and every man, Lefty Jaxmere.
Lefty Jaxmere.
Lefty, you said doy?
I don't usually say that.
Doy.
Wonderful.
Hey, boys. In the book, Carlo tries to play some silly game with Michael by saying, guess who I saw today? And he has Clemenza strangle him. Senator Corleone. Governor Corleone. Well, it wasn't enough time, Michael. It wasn't enough time. Steven Wildwood.
Doug, what that mean? What did any of that mean?
Know.
It didn't seem like there was a
point. Steve in Wildwood.
Howdy. Since the Cardinals are fired up about Rocco's Tacos, maybe to lure them in for interviews, you should convert your Uncle Rico van into a food truck. I can see Doug in the captain's chair in a paper hat, crafting a tasty chalupa. The players may be cautious at first, but once they see you making your own fresh guacamole right there at the window, they'll be hooked. Good luck! That's courtesy of Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Not a bad idea. Could really monetize that van.
Tim, my wife has been feeling extra sexual lately and would like to spice it up in the bedroom. She is looking to purchase an adult film. We already have Pirates. Is that a movie, Pirates?
Is this rhetorical, Brian?
I'm actually curious. Is this a
point? You're having a
film?
Brief aside. Yeah, there's Pirates 1 and 2. I think Iggy probably has it in his bag next to you.
That's good research. So we need something different to manually stimulate each other as well. What do you and Doug watch before doing the deed? Seriously, do you have a recommendation? Stay cute. The Turd Burglar.
What do we watch?
Nothing.
Yeah, we don't need it.
Don't need it.
Don't watch anything TV.
Where's the bell?
Morning, fellas. We've learned a lot already in the short time you've been at spring training. Alex Reyes is not throwing free and easy. Matt Adams is in the best shape of his life. Low Smart hates Lady Gaga. Wealthy athletes don't eat $2 frozen pizzas. And Doug is rude to immigrant airport personnel when he is deprived the gentle thrust of a Midwestern gentleman with a penchant for writing emails. Thank you, Hipster Tower Grove South.
I don't really understand that last part.
Hipster Tower Grove South.
Gotta be honest, it's a light batch, and this is the last one I have that made the cut. Hey, boys, Doug, the train is coming. Grab your ankles, bend your booty down, and make that.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough, Hoffsey.
That one made the cut.
Yeah, how did that make the cut? Who was it, Hoffsey?
That's courtesy of Stubby Clap, Doug.
Stubby Clap has been suspended. Stubby Clap has been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name is being registered even as we speak into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension log, you written down by my Wright Business Products pen. Thank you, Wright.
I had no
choice. Thank you, Llewellyn's.
I don't think it's a great batch. I'm going Stubby Applause.
I didn't think it was a very good batch either. I don't even know who to vote for. Maybe Injun Joe's K-Ride Magic Man, because he was mad at something and he didn't even tell us what it was.
So you like that it had no point?
Well, why not?
I'm going to go with Stubby Applause. Stubby Applause, congratulations. That's tough because Injun Joe's K-Ride Magic Man is one of the sponsors of the trip.
Right, that's why I wanted to give him a little
I'll give him a small
tap
taste
on the back. Yeah.
314 Sports is also one of the sponsors of the trips. 314 Sports for all your baseball and softball needs. 314 Sports is a state-of-the-art training center, a tournament company, and the home of the St. Louis Redbirds Baseball Club. 314 Training Academy is a 15,000-square-foot indoor facility off Strassner Drive in Brentwood, featuring the state-of-the-art HitTrax baseball simulator, which tracks hitters' exit velocity, distance, and shows progress over time. The HitTrax measures real-time data and displays live results for immediate feedback. It'll analyze key performance metrics to identify tendencies in hitters. Major leaguers down to little leaguers can benefit from the amazing technology of HitTrax. If you mention 590 The Fan, KFNS, you can get an exclusive one-on-one individual evaluation for just $20 to $25 savings. How about that? You can do that right now by calling 314-963-1110. This would be a perfect way to get your kid ready for the upcoming season. 314-963-1110 or visit 314sports.com. That's 314, the number 314sports.com. And I bet that's because that's the St. Louis area code. It is in my copy.
Yeah, really good chance that that's it.
But that, yeah, I'm able to kind of figure things out like that. It's kind of fun.
Just kind of on the fly, even.
Right. Yeah. Jonathan Broxton is driving by in his truck, and I feel like the scene where Doughboy and Boys in the Hood stands up and kind of goes, "We got a problem here!" Because I feel like he was thinking about taking us out. I feel like that's what's happening.
Drive right over us as we sit here on the bench and just put an end to this nonsense once and for all.
Right. And then there's JMH Law Firm, another sponsor of the spring training trip, and I keep thinking that's something that the cat has to do with, and I don't know if you started a firm because you already have JHE.
It's a little different.
Right.
Might be a knockoff.
JMH Law Firm and attorney Joe Harvath, providing passionate and aggressive criminal representation at reasonable rates. He felt like this was a good audience to promote criminal representation.
Well, yeah, he's right on the money there. But a lot of these guys are already in prison that listen to us, so we're a little late.
He can handle the appeals process.
Okay.
If you've been charged with a felony, misdemeanor, a traffic offense, you better go to needalawyerstl.com. Traffic ticket, DUI, personal injury, you better go to needalawyerstl.com. Drug possession or even murder, you better go to needalawyerstl.com. Caught stealing breakfast from a hotel you aren't staying at, you better go to needalawyerstl.com. I do is read what's in the prompter.
If it's in
the prompter, it's how the whole thing with Go F U San Diego
happened. It was a sentence right after, if you commit murder, you're going to need a lawyer. And the next thing is if I try to give someone a ride to the bullpark, it's just not the same.
All I do is read what's in the prompter.
I was there. I had a car, and I wanted to share a ride with anyone. A lot of them were senior citizens, and the cat was staying there. So I would merely walk in, look around the lobby, and say, hey,
looks
like there's some ball fans in here.
You weren't even picking me up, and you went for the free meal.
But nonetheless, there were ball fans in
the lobby. No rides given, seven meals ingested.
Anyone need a ride to the bullpark? And, of course, none of them did.
If you drove your whip without a license or if you broke into a house for a midday recreational, you better go to needalawyerstl.com. Doug, all I can do is read copy.
Yeah, Herb Humphreys might have needed it.
314-827-6222 for JMH Law and Attorney Joe Harvath with offices in St. Charles and Webster Groves. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisement. Sailor Jerry, the official spiced rum of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Grateful for all of the sponsors' support here. It has made it an outstanding week already, and we're looking forward to more. Dexter Fowler, Lance Lynn, Adam Wainwright, we're hoping to have them all here over the next couple days. And since the Plowboy is so close with Matt Carpenter, maybe we'll just let him handle that interview and just kind of get out of the way.
Thank you, Plowsy.
Grand Cru Cigars, Stoli Vodka, the Post Sports Bar and Grill, sponsor of the Picnic Table, 314 Training Academy, Big Boy Lawns, the Power of the Draft.org, Four Seasons, Penske Truck Rental, Cordell and Cordell, Kevin Miller of Coldwell Banker Gundaker, iTech Shark, JMH Law Firm, AMP Restoration, Advanced Vision Care with two Illinois locations in Belleville and Nashville, Premier Parking and Anheuser-Busch, Budweiser, the official beer sponsor of the St. Louis Cardinals. This Bud's for you. All of them making this program possible. Please support the sponsors. It's time for the Lions Choice Famous Roast Beef handoff to Frank Cusimano on the Hollywood Casino Press Box that comes your way next. Then you have the Midday Grind with, I guess, we have a nemesis now in Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlin. Now we have internal.
Taking shots at us first week of the program.
Right.
That's nice.
So that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that comes your way from 12 to 3. And then
figured
the line
they'd be trouble.
From 3 to 6. Time for us to shut it down. We have the best of 590, Drive Time Rewind. From 6 to 7, I'd imagine you'll hear some of the interviews today with Piscotty, DeWitt, and Mazalek. They'll probably be making cameos today from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. every day, and that leads into the Heavy Hitters and the Charlie Tuna Show, and then our network programming. So it's time for us to shut it down here from spring training. Day 3 is in the books on year 12, live from the Picnic Table, presented by the Post Sports Bar and Grill. For Brendan Schaefer, for Iggy, for my brother Kevin, for the Seamaster, for Nick, what up, y'all, for the Plowhawk, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes and for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, I'm Tim McKernan, and this has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios in Jupiter, Florida.